Have your weekend breakfast
with Cooks Mhlungu.
Let's walk the talk.
9 minutes after 9 o'clock, time for us to get into a conversation about wellness. Joined on the line by our resident clinical psychologist, Khosi Giane, to talk about resilience. Khosi, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm awesomely well, thank you. I'm just listening to, you know, the Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all the birth mothers and archetypal mothers. There are many types of mothers and mothering, so happy Mother's Day to all of that. For me, it's not a song. It's a poem I remember from, like, Standard 4 that said, "Wena mama wang." You know, that's what comes up for me, not a song as such, but that poem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think poems count as well. Poetry, music, art, literature about moms. I think all of that counts. Today we are talking about resilience, which is quite an interesting thing.
It is.
In that I think we all think about resilience. We want to be resilient, but I don't know that we actually know what it is. What is resilience?
Sure. Okay. So we're talking about, it's a phrase that speaks to human elasticity, our capacity to stretch, our capacity to move and morph into circumstances. So it's a concept that's called upon, as you know, rightly said. You know, we are finding ourselves in a particularly challenging time at the moment, right? So it is a concept that's called upon in the face of some form of challenge, threats, crisis, adversity. And it speaks of our ability, or at least our capacity, to bear up, to withstand, to prevail under those circumstances, a variety of circumstances, from the smallest, you know, of your personal circumstance, but also to globally where we are finding ourselves, all of us as the human community, in the more recent history, and particularly now with, you know, issues that are going on. And it's various levels. You know, we can talk about physical threats and resilience to that, but we can also talk about economics. You know, here we are, thrust in inflationary times. Everything is going up, and how do we prevail? How do we manage? How do we navigate this time?
Mm-hmm. So you started by saying, so it's this idea of being able to stretch, being able to bear, being able to kind of adapt to what is happening. Why is it important that we are able to adapt? What does that do for us?
Basically, survive.
Mm-hmm.
Survive, because, you know, as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Mm-hmm. So it's either that we allow circumstances to prevail upon us and become debilitating, and we become immobilized, helpless, hopeless. And those are the classic signs of depression, when we just spiral into a darkness, a helplessness, a sense that there's nothing I can do, and we surrender. And, you know, as they say, some people die at 25, but they are only buried at 75. You know, you can live that kind of level of existence, right? And just literally scraping through. But we are saying there's more to us as human beings than just, we were not designed to survive. And again, I like to draw again on the infrastructure of the human brain. There is what we call the survival brain, which is that reptilian brain of fight, flight, or freeze. And that's just about surviving a circumstance, right? But fortunately, even physiologically, that infrastructure, that survival brain, is overlaid by an even bigger brain, which is the mammalian brain, which is our capacity not to survive, to thrive. So the infrastructure is there. It's about how do we tap into all of that and use it to navigate whatever challenges.
And
because, you know, as this Zulu says, you know, vukuzixosha, which means we are going to fall.
Yes.
We are going, it's bound to happen.
Yes.
It's not a maybe. And it's various falls we will experience in life, various knocks. You know, we will trip on things. And we will fall, but it is about not staying down. It is our capacity, as Maya Angelou, and still I rise.
Yes. So the idea that, you know, we often hear fall down, is it 8 times, get up 9? You know, this idea of, you know, you won't be beaten by circumstances. You can bounce back. We often say these things to each other. It also sounds like this idea of resilience, we need it quite often because there's always stuff happening.
I
mean, if we were to take away COVID and the conflict and all of the things around that, just in it sounds
it
as if
it still doesn't leave us a rosy picture, does it?
Yes, it almost sounds as if in life generally we're going to need this ability.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they say life throws bombs and bouquets with equal indifference. It's going to happen. It's given. So adversity is just part of the game. And it is why we come with this capacity. So nature does not work against itself. We come with this capacity to dig in and to dig through and to prevail. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And it's something we take for granted. You know, until it's like air. We take it for granted when it's there until it's not there. Then we realize just how important it is.
Mm. A couple of years ago, I read Option B. I think that's what it was called. A book by, I think she's at the time, I don't know if she still is, the COO of Facebook or Meta now,
Facebook, yes.
Sheryl Sandberg. Her husband dies suddenly, and that's why she writes the book. Yeah. He was fairly well. I think they'd gone on holiday with a group of friends. He went to the gym at the hotel, and he had an aneurysm. Perfectly healthy man, and they find him in the gym, and it's too late. She then writes this book following or during the time when she was grieving to try figure out how to get out of grief, this kind of this awful place she hadn't imagined for herself. And one of the things she writes it with I think it's either a psychologist friend or a psychiatrist friend, but someone in the space of mental health care. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she writes about is for people to know that they can make it through a difficult time, like a death, like a loss of a job or a trauma, is often people need something to look forward to, that it will end. And she was saying when the grief is new, it doesn't feel like it will end. It feels like it is all encompassing. It is big.
Enveloping.
Yes.
Omnipresent.
But she was saying it's quite important for us, if we're going to come out of a difficult time, to think or to know that this will end. You won't always feel this way. But that's really hard when you're in the thick of the thing.
Indeed. It is, you know, even Viktor Frankl himself in the book Man's Search for Meaning talks about that even in the most adverse circumstances, and of course he writes this during the Holocaust, and he talks about the fact that people who did make it through those experiences, the gassing and gas chambers and all of that, those atrocities, the people that did make it, there was one thing that defined them or the golden thread. It was that they had something yet to live for. There was something yet to live for. The doors didn't close. The doors were not locked. Maybe they were slightly, pushed together. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean there's no possibility beyond that. It wasn't the end. It was a comma and not a full stop. And we need to create that sense. We need to insist on that possibility. That is what resilience asks of us.
That it could be different. It won't always be this particular thing or this feeling.
Yeah, it is about recognizing those small moments when I cook. So it's like even in the most adverse circumstance. So, for example, you lose someone, say a parent passes on. Mm. Even there, there's a moment when you can think about something. Oh, that's a nice car passing by. In that moment, even that thing, there's a window, there's that curtain, there's that moment, there's that brief moment. And it is about that renting of the curtain. In other words, this is not all consuming. This is not all there is to life, even though it feels that way right now. So it is about distinguishing the fact that it feels that way doesn't mean it is that way, because this too shall pass, just like other moments that have come and gone. And we need to remind. We need to recalibrate our own capacity, our own wiring, and rewire ourselves to a sense of possibility.
Often you'll hear people say, you know, so-and-so is stronger than me. So-and-so is, they have more grit than me. Or they, you know, this idea that we are not equally, we don't all cope with adversity and difficulty in the same way. Is it inherent, as in you just have it, or do you learn it? And also, often when we say people are strong, we mean they don't cry, they don't show their emotions. Is that an example of resilience, of not, you know, something terrible happens and we kind of expect someone might, you know, go through a difficult time, maybe fall apart a little bit, but it doesn't happen. And then people often say, oh, that's, they're very strong. Is that resilience, that like not showing emotion, yeah, at least not publicly anyway?
Yeah. So it is about, so let's go back, because there's a number of things that you've touched on, and I may not answer all of them, so just keep reminding me. So on the one hand, we say everybody is unique. You know, there's a universal singularity to being human. All of us are human, or even siblings are born of the same mother and father, as I say, same factory, same laborers, just a different shift. We are all different. We are all unique. Even in our similarities. So some have a greater capacity. I mean, how does somebody like Whitney Houston just open her mouth and is able to sing those notes? That all of us have a voice, but we don't have the same capacity. Mm-hmm. So we are differently endowed in terms of different strengths and capacities. And do we say, sure, there is a genetic component to it, although there isn't a gene specifically that we can be isolated and say, ah, this is the gene that accounts for this. There is a genetic component in that it is part of the human capacity. So we inherit that as part of who we are as human beings. But it is also something that we cultivate. And as we say, you know, there's a resilience muscle. And like...
I'm not sure what's happening with Corsi's line there. I'm going to pass her back. Apologies for that. Hoping we can sort out the line. We are speaking about resilience, which is the ability to, I guess, bounce back from life's many difficulties. And I think for many of us, our resilience has been tested in the last couple of years. The great uncertainty for us, huge grief, losses, pain. And we're still not quite out of the woods yet. But there is this question about, so this is what the world looks like now, and how do we deal with that? How do we cope with that? I think we have Corsi back. I just need to figure out if we have her back on the line. I think we do. Let's see if we do. Corsi, hello. We lost you there.
I'm here. I'm not sure where you lost me. But I'm saying it's like a tea bag. You'll never know how strong the tea is until you put it in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So it is that that brings out our capacity, you know, for to be resilient, and that trains us, that trains that muscle. It just says to us that, you know, life is not just a bag of roses, so to speak. There's going to be these moments, and you need to be able to navigate these moments and know that you can surmount and survive these moments, and not just survive, because we also distinguish between, you know, the common definition of resilience. People will talk about, oh, the capacity to bounce back, which is important, because capacity to bounce back is about going, restoring homeostasis, a balance, a state of function. You know, it is about coping. It is about restoring. It's about self-preservation and adaptation. However, the other definition or the other nuance of resilience is not just to bounce back, but to bounce forward. And again, there is the difference between revolving and evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Revolving says we can go around. It's a 360 degree. Right. But evolving says it's about pushing the boundaries, the frontiers, the horizons of possibility to a new state.
So not just to survive, but the cliche, not just to survive, but to thrive.
Indeed.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
We do have Stanley in Centurion. Stanley, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to yourself and your guests. I think you said your name was Kofi. Is that correct?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say thanks for this topic. I think it's such a relevant topic. It's something we talk about on a weekly basis on the show, on the station as well. And that resilience to me is one of the characteristics of something I think we all need to develop more. And in some ways, and we can talk about that, we've done our kids a disservice because we haven't taught them properly. And that is a characteristic we call grit. And our grit is something that we've needed. We need, as I said now, more than we've ever needed it before, because life just keeps getting tougher. And people don't have the grit ability to be gritty. And if you look at resilience, Their original definition for grit was that it was passion and perseverance. That's what Angela Duckworth in her research did. She said those are the two characteristics, but we've added to that now. And grit is made up of perseverance, passion, resilience has now become the cornerstone of grit, courage, and if we look at these characteristics, it's something that I agree with your guest, and I love what you said. And I just want to say, I always used to say resilience was your bounce back ability. But I love your definition that resilience is also your bounce forward ability. And that's really what we need to be doing and teaching to our kids. I was actually, me and your producer were having a chat about it now. This is something we should be teaching at a school level. And I don't know if your guest agrees with us, but we should be teaching our kids how to develop resilience, how to develop passion, how to develop perseverance, courage, conscientiousness. All of these things are needed to develop grit, because if we continue as we are, and I think it's the old type of grit that's got us into the kind of problems we face in the world today, because the old kind of grit was just about what's best for me and how do I move forward and how do I move my company forward as quickly as possible. The new kind of grit has to be focused on what's best for not only for me and my company, but what's best for our community, what's best for the environment. And I'd like to hear what your guest thinks about that and the possibility of, or the question of, why aren't we teaching this in our schools where it's needed the most?
Sure. Thanks, Stanley, for that contribution and important question. So as you were talking about grit and teaching that to a kid, the thought that came to my mind is, you know that analogy they talk about a butterfly, when the caterpillar goes into that mush, into that, and then it needs to break out of that shell. Mm-hmm. And how somebody watched that butterfly struggling to break through that shell, and they broke that shell on behalf of, and little did they know that in doing so,
they were harming it.
It was harming it, exactly, yeah. Because it then did not develop the strength to do so. And it's such an important thing to say as of now. But particularly, I agree with Stanley in saying that there is this thing of cushioning children over too much, in fact, such that they don't develop that capacity to bear up. And I think part of it has got to do with being a society that's struggling to find a healthy balance, because you will find that parents who have come from poverty and hardship and struggle say, you know, the last thing I want is for my children to also struggle like I did.
Mm.
But there is also a challenge of overcompensating and overprotecting them, such that they then implode at the slightest, because we have created an idyllic world where they get everything and it's instantaneous. And we've lost the idea of no is also a loving answer, that they must get anything and everything, they mustn't struggle. And in doing so, we are also doing them a disservice to an extent.
Mm.
But I also like the concept that Stanley has put on the table, that we need to think about it beyond just it being a selfish type of thing. It's all about me, me, me. But to think about resilience in terms of cultivating a sense of empathy for another, so that we are not only just, And that's what survival, in a sense, calls of us. Mm. It's about looking out for number one. When all, you know, chips are down and we were all kind of about self-preservation, look after yourself. Make sure that you cover your own mask.
Mm.
But it is also about looking at, does the next person have a mask? And what can we do in order to make sure that the other person also has a mask? And so that it is about life being a team sport, as opposed to just about me, 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 a solo performance, as it were.
And I mean, that was kind of the messaging around COVID, right? That the most vulnerable, be it in a country, the most vulnerable countries, we will continue to be in this pandemic if we don't all come out of it. So if we don't look after the most vulnerable in a particular country, mm-hmm. that country will continue to struggle. Yeah. Rich nations were told, you cannot hoard vaccines and vaccinate your population. Yeah. And so this idea that part of how we get through is together, which is, it almost goes against everything we're taught, because much of what we are taught is very individualistic. As long as Googs is okay, as long as Course is okay, it's fine. But actually, there's a lot of, you know, community is meant to be that thing that holds you when, for instance, you aren't okay.
Indeed. And in a sense, it negates the self, the humanity, that we are social relational beings.
Mm.
And so what it does is that it cuts us off from that relationality and isolates us. And we then find that we struggle on our own. You knuckle down. And part of working our way through resilience is refuse to isolate yourself. Reach out. Because, as you know, what does the expression go? Together, everybody achieves more. The acronym for the word team. Mm-hmm. Together, everyone achieves more. It is about being able to, and you watch ants, how they work together. They may find a piece of something, but they realize that on my own, I can't lift this. And suddenly, all of them come together because they know that their survival together, collectively, depends on this piece of whatever, food or whatever it is that they need. And they work together because when we isolate, we then increase the likelihood of being debilitated and overwhelmed by circumstances.
So if you are going through a difficult time, and I mean, I do this, if I'm going through a difficult time, I withdraw. I'll only kind of emerge once the difficult time is over. Yeah. But what you're saying is in that time, that's actually when we should be in
the most.
Yeah. So I should be reaching out. We should be in community.
Indeed. And you know what's so interesting? When we work with clients or patients with depression, because that's what depression does. Mm. People withdraw into themselves. Mm. And the last thing they need to do is that. It is to defy exactly that tendency, that inclination, that wish. It is to defy that and put yourself out into the social, because then you are able to wrestle that demon that says, it's me, that internalizes everything. It's me, it's pervasive, it's longstanding, and which then debilitates you. It is about reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Defy that and reach out.
And
because
so
life is a team sport.
Mm. I want to come back to a point you made right at the beginning about at the moment there are these demands for us to be resilient. So in our personal lives, life is still happening. We are experiencing grief. We're experiencing loss. People are getting divorced. Life is still happening. Mm. We also have the challenges we can't be in control of. So politics, there's conflict, there's war. There's still, you know, great uncertainty about, you know, what the world looks like now that it's been shaped by COVID.
Yeah.
And I think for many of us, there might be a sense that I don't know if I can be any more resilient, you know, given all of these changes, all of these things. And what do you do with that feeling where you think I've been as adaptable as I could have been for 3 years?
Yeah.
And just the sense of, whew, I don't know if I have any more stretch in me.
Indeed. And it's an unfair, in a sense, it's an unfair time we've been thrust into. But the reality is, this is where we are.
Mm.
And one of the challenges that we then set up for ourselves is when we go into denial, right, about the situation. This can't be happening and so on. So if we look at it, is about be in the flow of things. So this is where we are. Come to terms with it, because what you resist persists. It just makes it harder for you. So this is where we are. And this is a thing. I don't have control over what's going on with COVID, the fact that there is already COVID at that level, right? At the global level. I don't have control over the fact that there is war going on, right? But it is about bringing it back to the self, to this. How do I center myself? How do I create a ground on which I can stand? And it is about being able to distinguish three things. It's about what do you have control over? What is it that you can influence, and what is outside? What is beyond you to do anything about? You can't do anything about the exchange rate that's outside of you, the petrol price that's outside of you.
Mm.
Let that be. Do not fight that. But what do you have control over? It is what do you do in your little world that you create? What do you have control over? Maximize that. And I will even say, even if there's only 20%, it comes down to 20% of things that you can control. Control that 20% 100%. Because then that gives us a sense of agency, the can do. What is it that you can do?
Hmm.
Do that 100%. What is it that you can influence? Influence that 100%. Because when you influence that 100%, it increases our sense of control. And then the things that are beyond our control becomes, you know, they're distant. They become distant when we can maximize the things we control and the things we can influence.
Kosi, always a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Googs.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
That's resident clinical psychologist Kosi Giane talking to us about resilience, which I think we've all had to dig deep to find over the last couple of years. It's 26 minutes before 10 o'clock. Time to check in with your very latest EWN Sport.